Well, if you have your Bible this morning, I'd like to ask you to join me in the first book, right toward the end of the first book, Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49, on the back of your bulletin, there is a place to write down any scripture references that I hope that you will write and take with you. We'll have those available on the screen. We'll look at a few verses, and some we won't. We'll just put them on the screen here, God willing. I want to thank Clarence back there, holding the fort down by himself today. He's multitasking. So thank God he's we got the screen going here. He's got y'all going online. So we welcome you, and thank God for those of you who are able to join us online as well. But we hope that if you're here in the area and you physically can join us, we'd love to have you in person as well. It's been a couple of weeks, at least I think, since we've made our confession together. Y'all didn't forget, did you? I don't think y'all forgot. But we'll put the words on the screen, and I'd like to invite you to make this confession with me before we read these verses in Genesis in the message this morning, Genesis chapter 49. But would you join me as we make our confession together in, again, our confidence in the Lord and His ability to speak to us through His Word by His Spirit. All right, would you join me? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. God's Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 49, beginning in verse 5. This is a father speaking to his 12 sons, speaking what could be a blessing to them and speaking a prophecy over them of what would happen in the future. And he mentions two of the brothers here in verse 5. He says, Simeon, these are his sons, Simeon and Levi are brothers. Instruments of cruelty are in their dwelling place. Let not my soul enter their council. Let not my honor be united to their assembly. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they hamstrung an ox. That's like they cut the hamstring or the tendon in the back there so that it couldn't work or really function. Verse 7, cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. And notice, I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. These two brothers, Simeon and Levi, were characterized by anger. It's not, we all get angry. Jesus was angry at times, but they were characterized by anger. And notice he says, I will divide them and scatter them. So they were controlled by anger to such a degree that it affected their inheritance, their physical inheritance of what the Lord, what their father would have had for them. Would you write these verses down? We'll put them on the screen and we'll look back at this. But they go in with the message this morning. They go with this verse on anger. It's found in Proverbs chapter 22. It's two verses, and we can put them on the screen. Proverbs chapter 22, verses 24 and 25. The Bible says this, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways, and notice, set a snare for your soul. You see how, in fact, that's why when Jacob said in verse 6, Genesis 49, 6, let not my soul enter their counsel, we need to be wise about our input. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Because I can even watch some of the news, I'll just be honest with you, and I feel myself getting angry. And I want to be informed, and I am. But I don't want to fuel something that God doesn't want me to fuel. So he says, let not my soul enter their council, nor let my honor be united to their assembly. Not only do we need to be wise and discerning about what we take in, we need to be wise and discerning about our associations. Because we can become close enough with someone who may be given over to someone, even like a spirit, and that begin to influence us and affect our inheritance. This, you know, when I was thinking about anger, anger can be just a quick outburst. We can, something make us mad, say something. I mean, sometimes it can be a violent outburst when it says that in their anger, they hamstrung an ox. One translation says it like this. It says, on a whim, they hamstring oxen. Something just tick them off. But that's what I'm saying. They were characterized by anger. They were given to it. And of course, anger can be more like a seething anger that just burns and grows within us. And we're human, so I want to give everybody a little bit of an out. We're going to be angry at times. That's not an issue. The issue is we don't want to be characterized by anger if we know the Lord, because as followers of Jesus, we don't want that to be our testimony. And with God's grace and help, we can have victory. And so here's the message this morning, and I'll show you the words. I'm going to just give it to you. It's four words. They're found in the New Testament. Here it is right here. Put away all anger. That's what God's word tells us. Put away all anger. And again, I'll show you that here toward the end of the message. But we're human. We're going to be angry. But God tells us to put it away. Put away all anger. Put away all anger. Would you say that with me? Put away all anger. Now, how many of you know that it's easier said than done? So how do we put anger away? Well, there's a very practical expression in the New Testament where these words are found, but I wanted to give you two questions first, because in the Bible, God asked two men very specific questions about their anger, and I believe it would be wise for us to ask ourselves these two questions when we're angry, not if we're angry, when we're angry, so that we are not dominated by anger. We experience it, we can even express it, but not in an unrighteous way, okay? And then, even then, we're to put it away. So let's look at the first question. Would you turn back to Genesis chapter 4? Genesis chapter 4. Again, two questions good to for us to ask ourselves in those times when we are angry. Not all anger is bad, but some of it is, and all of it can lead us to sin. So put away all anger. Genesis chapter 4, and let's begin reading in verse 3, and you'll see the question that God asks here, okay? Genesis chapter 4, beginning in verse 3. And the Bible says, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And now in verse 4, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect or regard Cain and his offering. And notice, Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell, or he looked dejected. You could see the anger come out in him in his facial expression. So he says, Cain was angry, very angry, but they both brought an offering to the Lord. But notice what it said, please. He said that the Lord accepted Abel and his offering, but rejected or didn't accept Cain or his offering. It wasn't just the offering. See, the offerings reveal us. Our offerings reveal our heart. And that was the issue. It wasn't the offering. It was Cain. It was his heart. And so that's why it mentions both by name. And so here is the question that God asked Cain. Aren't you glad that even in that moment, God is faithful to come reach out to us? So even, you know, he's very angry. You see it in his face. You read it on his countenance. And so God comes to him in verse 6, and the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? The first question that I believe we should ask ourselves when we're angry is, why am I angry? Why am I angry? Because if we will be honest with ourselves, and honest with God about why we're angry, it can help us defuse it. Because that anger, if that's a good way to say it, I think. That's just coming to me. I'm picturing about like a fuse on a bomb. We're not supposed to have the Bible says be slow to anger, so we need a long fuse. Give us time to ask ourselves, why am I angry after all? So when we're angry, why am I angry? And be honest about it. In this case, Cain was angry because he was jealous. And the Bible tells us in the New Testament that Cain's works were evil and his brother's righteous. That was the issue. See, that's why I'm saying it was his heart. His heart wasn't right with God. But yet even still, the Lord reached out to him. Why are you angry? Why do you look so down? Why are you dejected? Now, the Bible tells us that God is no respecter of persons. That means he does not show partiality. He says this. He goes on in verse 7. He tells Cain, if you do well, will you not be accepted? Notice, it's not the offering, it's you. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you. Let me pause right there a second. That sin is pictured like a crouching animal, just waiting, like behind a door, and for us to walk in. And what does the Bible say? That the devil, like a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. So he's wanting to pounce on us in anger. He's wanting to pounce on us in whatever it might be, just keeping with the anger of the theme, but to overrule us. And he says, this desire is for you. It wants you. But then he closes out the last few words of that verse and says, but you should rule over it. By God's grace and the power of His Holy Spirit, we can have victory today. That's how, again, we can put away all anger. Would you turn to someone next to you and just smile and tell them, put away all anger? So the Lord reached out to him. That's right. Tell him you love him. And let's think about this. What makes us angry? Let's talk about it a minute. What might make us angry? Okay, we don't get our way about it. Okay, that was a good one. Something doesn't go my way. We don't get our way about something, and we get angry. Can anyone relate? anyone else? What else can make us angry?
Yes. Someone get hurt, and you take their side.
Okay, hurt could cause. We could be hurt personally, and become angry, and that's a natural response. Again, I'm not saying this is all evil. Or we could be hurt for someone else. Someone we love and care about, they get hurt, and we take up that offense for them and become angry. Maybe along that line, we could even say injustice, right? When we see injustice, could make us angry. Maybe we could be embarrassed. Somebody, you know, there's tension over, we see things differently. It doesn't, whether it's a political realm or husband and wife, maybe over an issue about the children or whatever it could be. A lot of different areas. But I want to just, if you want to write this down, give you one example where Jesus was angry in the New Testament. It's found in Mark chapter 3. We'll put the verses on the screen. In Mark chapter 3, just to give you a little background real quick. They were in the synagogue assembly, kind of like what we might say a church meeting today. And there was a man who had a withered hand who attended that assembly. And according to their rules, not according to God, but according to their rules, Jesus should not heal on the Sabbath day because they considered it work. And so here they are in the synagogue, and this man's in attendance, Jesus in attendance, and those religious leaders watched Jesus, said very closely, we're going to watch him. We're going to see if he will heal him on the Sabbath, because then we'll know he's not really of God. But this is what the Bible says in Mark chapter 3, beginning in verse 4. In fact, let me back up to verse 3. Mark 3 and 3. Jesus tells this man with the withered hand, step forward. So he's standing up in the midst. They're seated around. And Jesus said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? And notice, but they kept silent. And when he, Jesus, had looked around at them with anger, why? Being grieved by the hardness of their hearts. Do you see where that's a righteous anger there? That they were so hard-hearted, they were concerned more about their man-made religious rules than a man who had a need right there. But Jesus didn't limit himself to them. And he told that man, stretch out your hand. And when he did, he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Thank God. He reached out obedient faith, and his hand was made whole. And the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him how they might destroy him. Isn't that something? Do you see how it reveals? So why am I angry? Well, I'm angry because somebody hurt me, somebody, you know, embarrassed me, I didn't get my way or whatever. That's all right, we're just being honest. But if we're honest about it, it can help us diffuse it. And then notice what happened here in Genesis chapter 4, and then we'll look at the second question. Genesis chapter 4, the next verse says, verse 8, now Cain talked with his brother Abel. Some translations, you'll see where it says, let's go out to the fields. He's telling Abel, hey, let's go out. That was a premeditated act. It wasn't some little, I got angry and I said something, I'm sorry. He was planning this. It was seething in his heart. It was growing in him. And so he says, let's go out into the fields. They talked, and the Bible says that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. That's why, remember what he said? You should rule over it. But if we allow that anger, if we just refuse to receive the grace of God for victory, sin will dominate us. Sin rules if we reject God's grace. Sin rules if we reject God's grace. And then let me give you the second question. You can just, if you want to stay there, I'll put this on the screen. It's Jonah chapter 4. Jonah chapter 4. And let me, I'll just read it to you, that second point. So first, the first question is what? That we should ask ourselves. Why am I angry? And then the second question as a follow-up, is it right for me to be angry? So why am I angry? Well, this is why. Now, is that right? Is it a righteous anger? Is it an unrighteous anger? Is it I want to get even with them because they hurt me? Or so whatever it is, let's be honest. God can handle our honesty. Again, then that can help us. Draw us to the Lord and then to ask, is it right for me to be angry? Now, we can all justify ourselves in our own minds. We can justify ourselves to others. I could say, you know, I had a conflict with someone, and I'll give you my version so that you come on my side. Is that right? I might not be lying, but I may not be giving the whole truth because I'm trying to justify myself to you. I want to win you over to get you on my side against them. None of y'all ever done that, have you? Put away all anger. So is it right? So here in Jonah, beginning in right toward the end, Jonah chapter 4 and verse 4, God is speaking to Jonah, and he asked him this question. Then the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? So he asked Cain, why are you angry? He asked Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? Again, let me give you a little background. God told Jonah to go and preach to this great city because of their wickedness. Jonah, remember, he didn't want to do what God said, right? Because he hated them. He didn't care for these people. They were their enemies, and he may have even known some who were personally hurt by them as the Assyrians. So we can understand the human emotion. But God still loved them, and he called Jonah to go reach them. It would almost be like saying, God calls a rabbi to go and speak to all the Taliban in Afghanistan. You see the hesitancy? But God had his ways of drawing Jonah. He went the opposite direction, exact opposite direction, but God gave him a second chance, sent him back. He goes in and just, this is all he says, 40 days, y'all are done. You're devastated, your city, you're going down. Didn't offer him any hope, nothing, and that was it. But they took it serious, and from the king to the animals, they fasted and said, if there's a God, be merciful. We won't live. And God, see, Jonah wanted God to destroy them, and God turned around and blessed them and gave them mercy when they repented. Don't you just love that? You got someone you're mad with, and you want God to get on them, and he'll bless them. But his goodness leads us to repentance. And so he was all upset. He was angry and depressed. I want to show you that because I didn't even know this till recently. They're seeing some links between, let me just say to everyone, depression can have many causes. It could be clinic, you know, something chemical or whatever. But there can actually be anger that's like a bitterness in us that can make us depressed. Just think about it. If you're bitter, you're not going to have a whole lot of joy, right? So why are you angry? And then is it right? And Jonah sits outside the city. He sits outside the city and watches and says, he's thinking, maybe God will kill him yet. And he sits there and just watches them. And he stays there all night. And the next day, he's still sitting there watching. And the Bible says that God prepared a plant, a gourd, that grew up and gave him shade. And Jonah was like, oh, thankful. He was thankful for this gourd. And he was like, man, this is so nice. And then God prepared a little worm. And the worm ate the gourd. And then God prepared a hot east wind. And it beat on Jonah's head. And he's sitting out there watching the city. And he's all miserable. And the Bible says this in Jonah chapter 4 and verse 8. Let me read that one to you. Jonah chapter 4, verse 8. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. And he wished death for himself. And said, it's better for me to die than to live. Is that discouraged or what? So then God says it again. Is it right for you to be angry about a plant? He wasn't angry over the people, but he said, is it right for you to be angry over a plant for which you have not labored? You didn't make it grow. It came in a night and perished in a night. And then notice this. God gave... That was an object lesson to Jonah about unrighteous anger and the value of people. Because he says in verse 11, should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, speaking of like a spiritual discernment, and much livestock. He said, you had pity on a plant that you had nothing to do with growing. It came up in a night and perished in a night. Shouldn't I have pity on 120,000 people who don't know me? Do you see there's a bigger picture than just our anger and us getting even? Would you join me in this final section of scripture in Ephesians chapter 4 in the New Testament? Ephesians chapter 4, because I just want to give you the text there of where it says to put away anger and how we can live it out practically. Ephesians chapter 4. Put away how much anger? I'll be honest with you, that's the part that I can wrestle with sometime because I want to justify and to actually put it all away. I need God's help. But it's freeing. Remember Simeon and Levi, he said, cursed be their anger, I'll divide them and scatter them. An unrighteous anger or giving ourselves over to anger can affect our inheritance in the Lord and affect our testimony. We don't want that. Remember, it's about other people too. It's about the able in our life. It's about 120,000 that maybe we could be an influence to. So put away all anger. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, the Bible says this, be angry and do not sin. Would you say that with me? Be angry and do not sin. So it's possible to be angry, we're human, but don't let it lead you to sin. It might win the moment, but don't let it win the day. He says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. I've done that before. I'm talking about I haven't put it away. It makes for an indigestion night. It's a rough night. You don't get much rest. And so verse 27 then, he links it. And he says, nor give place to the devil. Because if we choose to nurse it and choose to hold on to it, we can open an opportunity for Satan to come in and just wear us out and torment us and eat away at us. I want to read that verses 26 and 27. If you just follow on the screen, they're from the New Living Translation. Notice how it's worded here, Ephesians 4, 26. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Anger gives a foothold to the devil. Henry and Richard Blackaby have written a devotion called Experiencing God Day by Day. I'm reading through that now. And one of the day's devotions says this: few things are more destructive to Christians than anger. Anger, if allowed to remain, turns into bitterness that eats away at our hearts. So if it's allowed to remain, anger can turn into bitterness that eats away at our hearts. So that's why I'm saying, even if our anger is justified, we're not to allow it to remain. We're to put it away. So let's drop down then to, still in the same chapter, verse 30. Ephesians 4, verse 30, and this is where the title of the message comes from here. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 says this: and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, how much? That's what I'm saying, it's all. Let all bitterness, let all wrath, and then right in the middle of that list, all anger. Let all anger, clamor means shouting, like loud arguing, verbal brawling is what it is. So all, he says, all wrath, all anger, all the bitterness, all just the shouting, the arguing, and evil speaking, that slander, speaking slanderously about others, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. So we have to put it away. Let me read these. In fact, let me pause right there. We make a choice. I'll close out with this. Two steps of how we put it all away. So why am I angry? This is why I'm angry. Is it right? Even if it is, I'm still to put it away. I'm not to let it just stay and remain. So how do I put it away? First, we must be saved. And what I mean by that is we must know the Lord by believing in our heart in the crucified and risen Lord Jesus. That means we know we've sinned, we've done wrong. Doesn't matter. A child can know they've done wrong. All right. But when we come to that point, we realize I'm convicted, I've done wrong, I've sinned, but God loves me and I want to be right with Him and I want to receive His forgiveness and I want to receive eternal life. Then when we come and we're drawn by God's Spirit to believe in Jesus as Lord and receive Him that way, we are forgiven, made righteous in the sight of God, and God's Holy Spirit indwells us. See, when we have experienced then personally God's love and His mercy and goodness, and we are indwelt by God's Spirit, then we can do what God's Word says to do. We can't live this Christian life without God's help. He purposely designed it that way to keep us close, and so we're dependent on Him. So when we personally experience God's love, indwelt by God's Spirit, then we can do God's Word. So with God's power and Spirit, we can then put it away. So he says, put away all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking with all malice. And then verse 32, and be kind to one another. The principle in the Bible is we overcome evil with good. Who did Jesus say to love? He said, love those who you just think the world of and they love you, right? Love your what? Love your enemies. We're to pray for those who would do wrong to us. But the reason is it helps us, if we will trust God and do it His way, we can overcome evil with good. That's the only way we're going to overcome it, is we overcome with good. So we overcome the anger by receiving and overcoming anger with the kindness. Notice what he says in verse 32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Let me ask you a question. Did any of us deserve the kindness of God? did any of us deserve or earn His forgiveness. It's only offered to us freely and abundantly in Christ. So we overcome the anger with the kindness and forgiveness that we did not deserve, but we have freely received, and that's how we overcome evil with good. We choose to put it away. Put away all anger. Would you say that with me? Put away all anger. So we choose. I can just tell you for my own self, this is just another reminder, and I have them all the time, reminding me how I need to stay in close fellowship with the Lord and rely on Him to help me, and I need to stay in close fellowship with godly people. Remember, don't get so connected with an angry man and with a furious man. Do not go lest you learn his ways. See, the wise are those who walk with wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed, the proverb says. So it's not, I need to stay in fellowship with God, first of all, and rely on Him. But if I'm being obedient to His word, I need to stay in fellowship with godly people too, because I need your help sometimes. And maybe sometimes you'll need mine. Our prayers, we're in this together. So put away all anger. So what's the first question we should ask when we're angry? Why am I angry? And then the second question, what? Is it right for me to be angry? And yes, even if it is, don't let it stay. By God's grace, put it away. And before we have this time of share of communion, I want to just ask you, can we take a moment right now? Would you just ask God? Again, it can be easy to justify. Would you just ask the Lord to reveal any anger? Because He said, put it all away. Ask Him to reveal not only any anger, anything that hinders your walk with Him, and anything that would hinder your testimony. And then if the Lord reveals something to you, then ask Him just give for grace to put it away. And here's why. Because our inheritance, not like Israel's in the land, is the full blessing of God spiritually in this life and in eternity. So let's put it away so that we can walk in the full blessing of God and use it as a testimony to others that gives Him glory. Ultimately, God wants to use us to reach others too. It's not just about me. It's about me walking in obedience and blessing so that others will be drawn to Him as well. Put away all anger. Would you just take a moment right now? Can we just look to the Lord in prayer? And we just ask Him to just, you don't have to come up with something. He's able to reveal it to you. But if He reveals to you anything, whether it's anger or something else, would you ask Him for grace and then by His power just help Him to put it away? And let's come before communion today with just open hearts, receiving His goodness, love and forgiveness, His mercy, His tenderness, and then to put it away to the glory of God. I want to just pray for someone even now. Maybe there is some bitterness there. You've been hurt. And it could be easy to justify that. And we're all human. We can relate. But Father, I pray for some right now who just may feel like they can't put it away. Help us to look to You. We can't do it on our own strength, but help us to trust You. I pray that we would just trust You enough to hand it over to You and by an act of our will to put it away, Lord, and realize it's doing something in us that You don't want. Help us to accept Your grace and Your love enough, Lord, to put it away and just trust You to handle it. Give us wisdom, Lord. Lord, we want to please You. Help us to be close to You. Lord, I thank You for the price You paid to free me and forgive me. I'll never know that price, but I know You did it, and I'm thankful. And so, Lord, help us to be good recipients today and good givers of Your grace. Help us in the name of Jesus to put all anger away. In Jesus' name. Can we just sing this line?